Len Zeem, professional golf resumed today, and it is just simply a wonderful thing.
That it is. You know, I put it on even before the telecast started. They had a very good Ben Hogan profile, long show on Ben Hogan and, you know, his tie-ins with Colonial, which was the site of the Charles Schwab Challenge. And then the tournament started, and I don't mean to be ashamed of it, but I got to admit I got a little choked up to see it finally come back after, you know, over 3 months of no tournaments. And even though this one was a scene with no spectators, very different kind of looking telecast, but I'm happy to say that golf is the first sport to kind of crack back in from the get back after the coronavirus. It was quite a moving day.
Well, the NBA is supposed to tip off on July 31st, and now some players are having reservations about doing that. Hockey doesn't seem to be any closer, and baseball is turning into a labor mess, so who knows about them. We do have NASCAR out there running, and I think there has been an Indy race, I am not sure. But regardless, golf seems to be the front leader out there. And it sounds like with them getting fans next month, apparently 8,000 per day, and Muirfield at Memorial, Jack's tournament, it'll be an interesting scenario just to see fans at a sporting event.
Well, it sure will. You know, what surprised me most today, if you look on it as a surprise, I mean, you knew it was going to be an emotional day and an uplifting day. Sports are back. They're on TV. But you know what was really surprising to me was how good the players played. I, you know, after not being on the, you know, being free of tournaments for so long. I mean, more than half the field is under par. We have Justin Rose and Harold Varner both at shoot 63s. There's two more players at 64. Tom Lehman, who's in his 60s, he shoots 65. I mean, it was. You know, there were some scores that would surprise me. I mean, Dustin Johnson way down there at plus one, tied with Chicago's own Doug Gim, who got a crack at playing in this one. But the scoring was extremely good for given the fact that that there hasn't been a tournament for a while. Now, all that said, Colonial Country Club, I don't think has ever been thought of as one of the tougher tracks out on the PGA Tour. It's been a PGA Tour site since 1946. And, you know, the scores, I think when 2 years ago Rose won this tournament, he was 20 under. Low scoring is going to be expected at Colonial. But it's good. It's a good thing. The low scoring isn't bad. And, you know, we're back in business with the PGA Tour. That counts for something.
Well, we are also back in business with the Korn Ferry Tour. And I know, Len, you've been keeping one eye on that, because we have some local guys from the Chicago area that are over there and playing at Sawgrass 2, the second course over
Dye
at Sawgrass.
Yeah, Dye Valley. Yeah,
Dye Valley.
Well, you know, I tell you, I've got the scores there were. I don't know how the course they're playing next week is just a few miles away, and I've played that one, the King and the Bear, over at World Golf Village, but I haven't played the big course at Sawgrass, the stadium course, but I haven't played the one that they put the web.com guys on. But I can tell you, Nick Hardy was 3 under. He was probably the best of the local players. No, that's not true. Scott Langley, former Illinois golfer, NCAA champion for Illinois, he's tied for second, 4 under par. So, and a guy named Barone, I don't know anything about him, 6 under. 2-shot lead on the Dyes Valley course. So, you know, the local players are pretty big in the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, Chicago area players, Brad Hopfinger, 1 under, Vince India, 1 under after being 3 under through 8. You know, they're in the tournament. It's good. I mean, none of these places have spectators. So That strikes you when you watch it on TV. Of course, the Korn Ferry isn't getting any live coverage. I think they'll be showing some highlights tonight. But golf is up and running. That's a positive. There's no other way to look on it beyond that.
You started mentioning Illinois and a couple of guys with Illinois connections. This week here, it was actually Indiana University that made a little noise. Their brand new golf course, the PFAU, P-F-A-U course, will open on Monday. And I know the men's and women's golf team have been out there a little bit. But the golf course really opens to the public on Monday. And Indiana, that probably had what people would say was the worst course in the Big Ten for years, that's not going to be the case anymore. They brought in Steve Smyers. They sort of blew up the place. They got a new clubhouse. And I'll tell you what, this is one incredible golf course. And we talked to, on a Zoom call, the men's and women's golf coaches there. And they had some really interesting things to say. And I sense that this course will go beyond just being for men's and women's University of Indiana golf. I mean, they have an invitational with a lot of Big Ten schools. More of them are already wanting to come and play, but they're talking about junior events. And I don't think it will take long before it'll move above and beyond Indiana University. And I think there is going to be, wouldn't surprise me if there's some qualifiers there for the USGA next year, things like that. And that course is going to take off. A lot of people who drive to Indianapolis or they drive to the French Lick Resort to play golf are going to stop there and play, and it is very well worth it.
Well, here you got a exciting new course like that, located right kind of right if you're traveling right in between Crooked Stick, and which is going to have it has had certainly its share of big events. This year it's the Western Amateur between Crooked Stick and the great courses at French Lick. Indiana is starting to come on. Of course, Wisconsin has kind of set the trend in the Midwest for really floating as a golf destination. And now it looks like Indiana is not going to be too far behind what's happening in Illinois. We got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, the other thing is that recruits are already noticing this new golf course. And Indiana has landed three recruits, two of them rated in the top 50 coming out of high school this year. And when recruits that are being recruited by schools like Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Florida, and two of those kids turned them down, one to stay home in the state of Indiana, the other one from Ohio coming over there. I think the third recruit is somewhere around the top 100. You know, we're looking at whether you're Ohio State or you're Purdue or you're Illinois or Northwestern, you're going to have to start recruiting a little harder against Indiana because a few kids have already noticed them. And I'm sure as people start playing there, word's going to get around.
Yeah, I certainly want to go see that course. I mean, Indiana's got it's been noticed more than anything, I think, a basketball and maybe a soccer school is collegiately for many years now. There's no its football program has never really taken off, but there's no reason it can't happen in golf because you don't need that many players. And especially if you really get behind a program, and from what you tell me, they really have done that in Bloomington. Certainly it's got to be a stop on our schedule, if not this summer, very soon after that.
Well, Len, what I did notice this afternoon is one golf course that is in outstanding condition. And since you and I spoke last week on the podcast, the Western Golf Association has announced its Korn Ferry Tour event is going to be at Chicago Highlands Club there in Westchester. And on my travels this afternoon, I stopped off, jumped in the cart. It had been a long time since you and I hit the ball out there with one of the partners, John Baxter, and took a look around, and that course is in absolutely beautiful condition. They have a great clubhouse that's actually a three-story clubhouse, but you would never know it because when you come down the 18th fairway, you only see one level of it because it's kind of built into a hillside. So it looks like something you would see at a course, you know, that's just a regular Midwest golf course, not some country club with a massive 2- and 3-story big white clubhouse. It kind of just blends in, but it looks a lot bigger in the front. And then when you get on the golf course, you go, where'd the half the clubhouse go? But it's kind of cut into the hillside. It's got a great look.
With the Chicago Highlands, John Baxter, because he's been trying to get big tournaments from as soon as they open that club up. And I really thought when I saw the course that it wouldn't take long. But I think what held them back a little was the fact that the clubhouse of facility there that they were operating for a long time there, I believe, out of a tennis facility there. That was not they really need for the tournaments that they would want, and the kind of course that they have. You know, you've got to have a clubhouse these days to take care of all the side of things involved in putting on a big tournament. So I think landing the Korn Ferry Tour, I think that's a big positive for them.
They've wanted to get a tournament there, and I think one of the drawbacks for a long time was not having a clubhouse. But they do now. It's a really nice clubhouse. They have a nice-looking pool house and pool area. They have a tennis or paddle courts and another building for that. And as a result, the club has really taken shape. The driving range, double-ended range, is close to 400 yards. I think the pros will be able to hit off each end without hitting each other, in spite of how far these guys hit it. So it's linksy, and it's just starting to really take shape for the summer, and it should look good in September. But then again, being a September event, as we saw for that week, the U.S. Open shortened up its field a little bit, down to 144 players. You have to believe that the Korn Ferry Tour might also have to shorten this field up a little bit as well.
Well, you know, what's interesting, just thinking about our talk so far today, this is probably the most positive day for us chatting about since we started our podcast series. We've talked about an exciting new course in Indiana. We've talked about Chicago Highlands, which has always been good, but getting a big breakthrough. And we've talked about the return of pro golf on the PGA Tour and on the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm feeling real good about where golf is headed right now. And, we've talked about that we've had to deal with things like restrictions, weather problems, no tournaments to report on in the last few months. But it looks like it's all systems go. I'm excited.
Well, Len, you and I love to talk about not only travel destinations, but golf products. You know, we see the new ones when they come out at the PGA show down in Florida or Orlando. And I've started to receive different messages from different companies saying, hey, there may not be a U.S. Open in a couple weeks, but Father's Day has not changed on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And there is various people that are starting to offer up products, and it's time to suggest maybe a couple of things that if you're shopping for dad or someone like that, uncle, grandpa, for Father's Day in the golf world, time to think a little bit about what you might want to buy.
Yeah, I tell you, I know that I've been seeing stuff on the social media of new products that have come out. Of course, my thought at this point would be to support the get tickets to the BMW at Olympia Fields, and it's not that far off in August. That would be, for a Chicago person, that would be a real good gift. But the innovation in golf products, I think, is even going to be all the more in evidence with stuff coming out now, with people getting excited about finally being able to play and seeing it on TV. And that adds to the excitement of these times we're going through right now.
A couple things that I'd like to mention, and that even though people can have carts now again up here in Illinois, for a long time, people were just walking. And I'll tell you what, if you didn't have a new pair of golf shoes this year to start the year and you're still walking on last year's, I have to believe that considering the wet conditions we had, that a lot of people who actually got out and played in May, and maybe they jumped over the border to play in April up in Wisconsin or Indiana, may have worn through a pair of golf shoes. And I think a lot of people that actually went out and walked got their exercise and are saying, you know what, I should probably do this a little more often. So right about now, I would think that a perfect gift would be a set of golf shoes. It might be a great opportunity to, if you put somebody in the right lightweight, comfortable pair of golf shoes, people may want to walk a little bit more and enjoy the game that way. Or with the rules here in Illinois still being one person in a cart, unless you're in the same household, sheltering under one roof together, some people can put their bags on a cart. They just can't ride in it. So you're doing the walking, you're just not doing the carrying. Caddies are still limited as four caddies right now. So I saw a bunch of four caddies today out at Chicago Highlands, but of course nobody carrying the bag, just carrying that little rangefinder and calling out some yardages.
Yeah, we're a little different situation living here in Florida. We're doing, as you know, we've done, like you, we've done a lot of travel golf, but we are starting, we're going to be among the first travel riders really getting going, because this next week we're taking a two-week trip covering a variety of destinations in North and South Carolina, and it's going to be interesting for us because we've had no real golf, no real problems getting courses to play here. We've had some restrictions in Florida, but the PGA Golf Club is open full force now, which is right where we live. But I don't know what it's all going to be like going across a state line. So I know the golf is open. I know they want us there, and we're excited to kind of get back to the new normalcy on golf travel destinations as well.
One other thing that I know golfers have been looking forward to is, shall we say, the wrap-up and completion of about 4 to 5 years worth of work at the Schaumburg Golf Club. And I drove past the course the other day. I looked at the last nine, and it looks like it has really grown in pretty well. I know that they were debating about when to open it. They were looking at the end of July. Maybe this year, because winter wasn't too harsh, that maybe, just maybe, they can move it up a little bit in July. And if so, it'd be great to get that last nine open here, say within 30 days or maybe right after the 4th, and see Schaumburg back up and running with 27 holes for the first time in 4 years. That'd be outstanding. And they've done a wonderful job, Todd Quitno, Bob Lohman, with the renovation.
Yeah, I, of course, was played with you over before the, when one of the course, one of the nines was completed. They have put an awful lot of extraordinary, I agree with you on this, they, extraordinarily hard work and planning into the revampment of that golf course. You know, back in my day, had a different name back then. It was always a golf course there, but when the park district took it over, I think it's become one of the best public courses in Chicago now. Once this renovation project is all wrapped up, I'm looking forward to getting back there, and that'll be on our playing calendar.
And Len, if you haven't seen it, I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but the video is out showing how they assembled the solar roof over at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. That is going to make that golf course the first golf course with a completely solar-powered fleet of 75 golf carts. And I don't know if I had a chance to watch it, but DuPageGolf.com, it's really fascinating how they did this and how they probably, you know, as we see it in many industries, you know, we call it monkey see, monkey do, and I got to believe that there'll be other courses that will see this as a way to take some stress off their budget. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of this going forward.
Oh, I think we'll see it real fast. I mean, that was just too good of an idea. I did see the video. It's fascinating, really, to see what they've done. I'm no expert on those kind of things, but it makes all the sense in the world. And I got to commend those folks for getting it done. I will be see who's the next one to do it. Maybe it'll be another, of course, right here in Chicago.
We're reaching the 18th green. Any final thoughts to wrap it up this week here with volume 13?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see. Today was the first day they started the PGA Tour back again. I'll be interested in getting the feedback from everybody. That, you know, more people will be watching it on the weekend rounds. That's even though there's no spectators there and golf hasn't been out for a while, it's inevitable that when it when golf goes back on the major networks and the final two rounds create all the drama. I'll be interested in seeing how people take to this new golf that we're seeing now. And it's also interesting to point out that, you know, the spectator golf, the crowds, they're coming back. They'll be back at the Memorial in mid-July, you know. But I've been interested in seeing just how well-received it is over this weekend. And I think personally, that it will be well-received, even though people will realize it's not the same TV attraction that it was 3 months ago.
A little bit of history got destroyed 2 days ago down at the Olympia Fields Country Club on the South Course, the 11th hole, a very creative multiple option way to play this not overly long par four. But all the strategy revolved around going around to the left or to the right or over the top of a 104-year-old oak tree. And unfortunately, a storm took that piece of history and that 104-year-old tree and just splintered it three different ways at the base, and the tree was down. I'll be interested to see what the club elects to do, if they'll bring in another tree and replant something. But anybody who's ever played the South Course at Olympia Fields knows that par 4, 11th hole. It's one of the interesting holes on the golf course. And it's that one tree. It's amazing what one tree can do when you design a golf hole and put strategy into, you know, how you want to play a hole. And it does give you options to play that hole. But again, it was always fun. A lot of people, I think, like to try to hit it over the top of the tree if they think they can go long. So,
yeah, I tell you, Olympia's really got to do something with that one, because that won't be much of a hole without that tree there. I mean, it'll really be kind of very watered down. Kind of reminds me of when they took the tree came down on the, it's on the 17th hole at Augusta National. That created all that kind of excitement for the Masters. It'll be really, they have a big tournament coming up in August with the BMW, and that tree will be a subject of discussion. That the absence of it was going to be fun to see what they do.
Well, I believe there's some renovation work happening, starting to happen after the BMW is over, and it'll be interesting to see what the club's strategy is with that hole going forward. Len, I'll look forward to talking to you next week for Volume 14, and in the meantime, let's enjoy Colonial and the Korn Ferry Tour and the return of professional tournament golf back here in the United States.